Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Robin Scott, review a Reserva from Rioja, namely Bodegas Lawn. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
You gotta get up to get down. Mm-hmm. That's my motto in life. Or it's the song that's playing in the background. I don't know what the difference is.
No, I think you've been told, Scott, you have to get up to get down. But it was like...
So much pressure. Yeah. Don't put pressure on me.
Some shoulder shrugging in that.
Don't put pressure on me.
I told him that. Scott, you have to get up.
Just do the best I can.
Yeah. You can't even. Is it up? Well, is it up? Is it in, Scott?
No.
Yeah. A lot of is it.
Stop it.
Scott doesn't like the two
Don't
words is it.
Don't judge me.
Yeah. Is it? No, he doesn't like those.
Is he?
Yes. We are also joined tonight by the Wine Vault fat orange cat, George. Our departed Beau's nemesis, one of his nemesises. But
he had several.
Now George joins us as well.
George and Beau, the Wonder Dog, had a shared nemesis. That would be Sally.
Yeah, Sally does not join us.
The Wonder Cat. We love Sally.
Yes, but Sally does not. She's never joined us on the Wine Vault. George does join us.
Actually, she did join us. It's just Beau didn't appreciate it.
Yes, I know. George, though, follows me down and now wants to partake and sits in Becky's old chair, you know, and kind of sleeps.
And to show her indifference, Sally really hasn't been down here since Beau's passing.
No.
So it's like,
yeah.
But when Beau was here, she was more interested in being down here. I think just to harass him.
Could be. It was easier to harass Beau, so, you know, well, simple things. On tonight's show, we are going to be reviewing a wine from a winery from a region that I've been to and a winery I drove past while I was there.
We love this area.
We do. We do love Rioja in Spain. Now, for me, for Tempranillo, I'm more of a Toro kind of guy.
It's okay.
Or a Ribera del Duero. But I do still have a heart in Rioja because that's where Becky and I honeymooned. So, been there, spent many days there. Toured one winery, not many, partly because we couldn't speak fucking Spanish and no one up there speaks English, except for some one person from China, strangely enough. But this is LAN, Bodegas LAN, and LAN Lawn is spelled predominantly on the label, LAN in caps. You've seen it before. They do a Crianza, Reserva, a Grand Reserva, and multitude of other wines too on their label.
I don't know if everybody's seen it. I don't think you see this in the groceries.
Not so much anymore.
Mainstream. Mm-hmm. But Tempranillo, who gives a fuck which region in Spain it's from? It's fucking fantastic.
Okay.
It is.
I mean...
No?
Campo de Borgia might argue otherwise, but you know.
I think the
Vigna Borgia, Borsal.
I think the worst Tempranillo.
They're like, you know what? Let's test that theory.
I think the worst Tempranillo is better than 80% of the wines on the market.
That's more of a, which is lesser, a hypothesis or a theory? I can't recall in my scientific process. Because that's the lesser of the two, that Tempranillo is great no matter where you are in Spain. Because we know that's not the truth.
I would say.
There were Tempranillos in the, remember the Christmas mini bottle Palooza?
Those don't even count as wine.
But those were Tempranillos from Spain.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes, but allegedly.
I think they're made in somebody's bathtub.
Well, the same bathtub Borsal is probably made in, you know.
Oh, God.
But Borsal, though, that's Grenache, but they do a...
They do everything.
They do a Tempranillo.
They well. Do everything.
They're like, yes, we can defile Grenache. Mm. Where is the Tempranillo? I want its take its honor as well. It's like, Jesus Christ. This wine, though, it should have some honor. I've had Elian, or Elian.
Unless you take it away from them.
On many occasions. Sometimes I've loved it. Sometimes I have not. I've never really had a love affair with their Crianza.
Okay.
But the Reserva has been off and on. And I've had their Grand Reserva as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be good.
Okay.
But normally these things are less expensive. Wine.com has this for about $20.
That's what this was.
Yeah, Scott bought this for $21. But that's close enough.
Local purveyor.
Which in reality, Reservas, anywhere from 20 to 35, depending on the level of the producer.
And
Grand Reservas just go on up after that.
We love Spain. We love Tempranillo. I hadn't had Elian before. I didn't even look at the price. I'm like, I'm buying it. The purveyor I got this from had multiple lines of the Elian. So, you know, if we like this, maybe we'll go other directions from the same producer. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a while. We need to always revisit our friends. Spain, Tempranillo, mm-hmm. Rioja.
Yep.
1, 2, 3. I'll check the box as friends that we love to spend time with. So why not?
I know. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, a little refresher course on Rioja wines. So we have Crianza, Reserva, Grand Reserva.
Just the level of wine, the quality of wine that's expected, yep. Quality of grape by that the producer picks, and you expect exceedingly up the line that Rob started with to the finish, the higher quality wines, the last one.
Well, specifically, Crianza. That's the, well, you start off with generic wines that just have a Rioja labeling. There's no aging requirement. It's cheap. Crianza, those are aged 2 years, 1 year in barrels, and then the other year in bottle. Reserva, this is aged 3 years, 1 year in barrels, and then 6 months in bottles. Okay, I don't know where the other part goes, but, oh, then.
Up two, your ass.
Yeah. And then, oh, I'm sorry, 2 years then on the lees. If for sparkling. Grand Reservas, it's aged 5 years. So always you're going to see these wines held back a certain period, especially with Reserva and Grand Reserva.
And you can buy Rioja stuff that's 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Held for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not expensive either.
No. And so Grand Reserva, you're always going to see it held back at least a period of time.
At least 5.
Now, that's the minimum. Some wineries go even further than that.
10 years.
Some goes even further than that.
Yeah.
Crianza, though, that should be more of a current vintage. So when you're looking at vintage levels, is this bottle old? So you're 2023 right now. You're looking for Reserva. No, there should never be anything older or younger than a 2020 Reserva. In reality, 16 to 19 should be the age right now for Reservas. Grand Reservas, really anything older than that, but you're really looking probably 2012, 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Crianza, though, that should be more recent.
You can
It should be the 2020s.
You can still find Reservas that are 2008, 2009, 2010. So you can still find them.
Depending on the producer, yes.
The last Rioja Reserva I bought that was an aged, was a 2009.
Now, one thing you want to be careful on
expensive.
Is...
expensive. They're in the 30s.
Yes. Reservas, depending on, you know, some wineries put all their eggs in one basket. That's their Grand Reserva, really. And they have multiple different versions of Grand Reserva. And Reserva is just kind of the afterthought of the... You already drank this wine. You just drank it.
What's wrong with you? That's my second taste.
You dumbass.
You're talking too much.
No, this is what we do. We're a podcast. Anyway, though, the critical acclaim for this wine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should also give some more information about it, though.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Get fucking... Breathe the fucking...
This is 95% Tempranillo. 5% Mazuelo, okay? 25-year-old vines.
Grape.
This was French oak for 18 months, followed by 20 months in bottle. Remember, 1 year is the minimum, okay?
Yeah.
So 18 months on French oak. That's actually quite nice.
So it's like 39 months overall, so it's like more than 3 years.
That's correct, and this is James Suckling.
Hi, James. How are you?
Better than you.
Do you miss Wilfried?
Not for very long. You'll find out.
Well.
Anyway, I gave this wine 92 of my points. Yes, the dreaded 92.
That's a little low for you, James.
I know. Aromas of blackberries, blueberries, dried flowers, bayed leaves, iodine, and cigar bark.
Iodine.
Yes, iodine. Medium what to full body.
Cut? You need to put iodine on your finger?
A wart, folks, yes. I had skin tags. Just puts iodine on it. I
bet you have skin tags.
And with fine tannins and fresh acidity, spicy and vibrant with a velvety texture and a flavorful polished finish.
Yes, and this is Wilfred.
I went to dinner with James Suckling. What did I have? Spicy finished skin tags.
That was afterwards, Scott. That's
well,
what you had.
No,
yeah.
that was just the appetite.
And you had a walk of shame, too.
Well.
Yes, I actually, Scott, reviewed this wine. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I took a break from reviewing Oliver wines.
Oliver?
Yes.
Oliver?
Did you know
you took
that
a break from reading Oliver wines?
Their cherry wine tastes like cherries.
Why couldn't you just read like 90% of her wines? Instead of reading all of her wines.
Why don't you tell more jokes about genocide, Scott? People love that. Anyway, commentary. The 16 LAN Reserve is elevated and layered on the palate. Tasting notes. This wine excels with aromas and flavors of oaky notes, black fruits, earth, and berries.
You know nobody says LAN. It's just LAN.
I don't care. Enjoy it with Carnitas burritos.
Oh, delicious.
Carnitas burritos. I just always wanted to say that. And then I'm also going to read the next one from the Wine Spectator.
Oh, no. You can't read from the Spectator.
I can.
Wilfred.
No. I can do
it. You got fired.
I never worked for them.
That's why you got fired.
I worked for Barnes & Noble one time.
Well, that's why you got fired.
Yes, that's right. I cleaned the bathroom. Anyway, 91 of their points.
Okay.
Harmonious and juicy. Laced with delicate cherry and plum fruit flavors.
Sounds just like...
Wow.
Well,
they use a lot more adjectives than I do. Bright, but also round. Showing elements of spice and cedar that creep... I don't like the word creep.
It's great.
In this... As this plays out on the succulent finish.
Succulent. You're still thinking about eucalyptus.
Tempranillo and Mazuelo. Drink now through 2030.
Eucalyptus.
Yeah. You're focused on it.
What? Eucalyptus.
What do you think of the nose?
Let me smell it. I smell a little bit of anise.
Okay,
it's a little overripe.
I got a little soapy.
Yeah. Blackjack licorice anise. Heavy anise.
Yeah. And that soapy thing bugs me. I mean,
fennel seed.
There's certain varietals
I'm not worried about the soapy. I'm smelling that strong anise fennel seed that's really good.
And that's promising. That's promising. But overall, in the glass, it looks beautiful. It looks every part that it should. The legs are slow forming and wonderful. Big.
What about the subtle aroma of daffodils?
Daffodils. Okay.
Aromatics. I mean, floral aromatics, but I'd go daffodil.
There's definitely floral aromatics there.
Daffodil. It's lovely. That's a lovely nose. I'm not worried about any bullshit that you're talking about.
Well, it's a little
jive turkey.
It's a little jive talking. You're spurring me on. Jive talking. You know, just a little soapiness gave me some pause.
Yeah, you don't like soap, do you?
Not much. It's like irritates my skin. You know.
I think it's a nice
sensitive
nose.
Skin.
I like the nose. On the palate, though.
On the palate.
It's Rioja.
It's Rioja. Nice tannin. Nice tannin background structure. Austere is a good word. A little on the leaner side.
Austere.
For me. Nice acidity. The fruit is what you'd expect from Rioja.
It is. That's why I like Toro.
Well, here's...
Muega does it better.
Here's for me. And Rioja sometimes is like this.
Washed out?
Washed out's harsh.
That's what LAN is.
It just doesn't have the big tannic backbone that you expect a Tempranillo to have.
Or fruit.
I'm fine with the fruit. What don't you like about the fruit here?
Fine with the fruit?
Yeah, blackberry. Got blackberry, got a little currant.
I just never realized blackberry tasted like... I mean, that's a very lean blackberry, but...
Go back in and
this wine is one of these wines that's going to have to sit kind of aerate and just get the palate accustomed to it because there's some subtle nuance. There is length, and it's a different wine. So we've been drinking like a washed in Syrah. It's very compact and straightforward and very brief. This wine is... kind of spread out all over the fucking place.
Yeah. And just structurally, it's extremely different. This wine is a little more medium-bodied, absolutely. But it's also, it's got this, it's a higher acidity red that causes it to have that's liking.
That's
it's better. Almost bracing acidity. It's the acidity is one of the primary factors in this wine.
I thought it would take two sips to really get in. Sorry, that's smooth. Two sips to really get into this wine because it has a wonderful second pull. The mouthfeel is very linear and lithy, but it's pure Tempranillo, and it's one of those things where if you're drinking Ribera del Duero and you're drinking Toro and some of those bigger, more robust.
That's not this.
No. This is unabashedly Rioja. And Rioja itself is a little bit more of the delicate side of Tempranillo. It just is. The only winery that I would say might be a little bit different than that I've had is Muega. Muega is a little bit richer and riper. But whatever. Antonio, which I've had and which I've toured, it's like this. A lot of them are like this. They are a prettier version.
Yeah.
They'll even tell you that in Rioja, we're the pretty version of Tempranillo. And when you actually step back and look at it, you go, wow, you have the same varietal mm-hmm. in the same country
mm-hmm.
that comes across completely different depending where you are in the country. Isn't that interesting? It's a bigger departure than it is from what you find in California even. Because, you know, yes, California Cabernet's from Sonoma to Napa to Paso have different characteristics, right? But this is a further departure from the big bastardly Tempranillos from other parts of Spain.
Yeah, for me, it would be really interesting to see a region as diverse as California. Spain, where Tempranillo's grown, like, for example, the different conditions on level above sea level, i.e. mountainous versus non-mountainous, it doesn't have...
Well, Rioja is a mountainous.
It doesn't have the diversity that California has, like with Zins, for example.
No.
I would be interested to see if Tempranillo ever became an established grape in California, how it dealt with the difference in soils and height and rain and climate. I think it's got that versatility, but I think in Spain, you'd really have to be an aficionado to get the diversity out of this grape.
Well, this is,
that you could in California.
This is the Burgundian version
that
of Tempranillo.
And I think Spain does what France does. One of the arguments you could make is they do it a little better, i.e. taking over the 10 euro market in France. There's still a movement that the French want to ban Spain from their marketplace when it comes to red wine. And to some degree, it's because we can bring something in, it's 10 euros, you're selling something for 25 euros, and our 10-euro wine's better. And from the beginning of time when we did this podcast, we said there's no better value than Spanish reds. And this is a fine example of it. By far, this is not our favorite Tempranillo. It's bottom 10%.
What?
This is bottom 10%, but we could drink it every day.
This isn't bottom 10% for me.
I think it is.
No, I think this is a very good Tempranillo.
Okay.
But you have to like Rioja.
I don't think this is our best even Rioja.
Oh, so what?
Rioja.
Best Rioja?
We don't do
a lot of Riojas on the show.
But we could do a vertical with our friend who lives in his parents' basement.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? But this is a very nice, pretty wine. Thing with this, one thing I do not drink and do not like are Crianzas for the most part. I don't like Crianza.
We've had some okay ones.
Yeah, they're okay, but they're a waste of my time for the
most
part.
You'd rather go the next level up.
Absolutely. When I drink Spain, well, when I drink Rioja, I don't want anything really less than Reserva. And that's not being a snob. It's just from a quality standpoint, that's what I like.
It's kind of being a snob.
But if I want value.
Snooty, bougie.
I'll go other places in Spain. I will.
All right. As long as they're serving jamón, I'm good.
What?
As long as they're serving
jamón.
Jamón.
No, there's no J. Jamón.
There is a J.
There is, but it's
not. It begins with a J.
But it's not in Jamaica.
Whatever.
Jamón.
Jamón.
You're really off your game, aren't you?
No.
Roja.
Just fine.
Roja.
Jamón.
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 It's jamón.
All right, sure it is.
Well, it is in Madrid, mm-hmm. where I ordered it.
Yeah, well.
You've never been anywhere. You've been New Jersey? You look like you have been.
I love New Jersey.
I know. That's an old hat, by the way. 1996. It's old.
I'm not going to say I've got character.
Just because you are a character does not mean that you have character.
True.
Yes.
But you can have both.
Yeah, but you don't.
Well.
But this wine, I think, is a wonderful representation of it. The first taste, I thought, was disjointed and very thrown around, right? And once I took that sip, I went, you know what? I'm going to go back in there again, and it's all going to coalesce on the palate because I'm going to realize what I'm tasting, and my mind is going to put it back where it's supposed to be. And I did. And
what?
That's the way it works.
No, that's not the way it works. That's the way it works for a twisted and emotionally troubled soul.
The wine is lovely
on
the palate.
Troubled.
The wine is lovely on the palate.
It's a little lean.
It's supposed to be.
Even by Rioja standards,
no,
it's a little bit lean.
Not
fat.
By Rioja standards.
Oh, my Lord.
You haven't had as many Riojas as I have.
It's correct, but I've had enough to know that this one's on the leaner side.
Mm, this is the way LAN, or L-A-N, does their wines.
Oh, my God.
You know? This is their way. I don't buy them that often.
You don't buy LAN
or LAN?
Or LAN.
That often? I would buy Muego or anything. But this is one of their better wines I've had in a long time.
Okay, fair enough.
Bar none.
There's nothing inherently wrong with this wine.
It's a good wine.
I like it. I appreciate it. It's just not blown my hair back. And
it is mine. It's a good wine.
It's hard to believe, but you have less hair than I do.
I know. I don't think so.
Well, you're growing your sideburns out.
My God. Pubes does not count.
Well,
I've got a very
wouldn't
hairy,
matter because
I've got a very hairy snatch. So don't tell me
snatch or it's sack,
both.
Jesus Christ, Wilfred.
He's mix mash, folks. You know what that means?
You know you're mix.
The carpet doesn't match the curtains. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, Jesus,
that's true.
Fucking Wilfred.
Why do you shave your pubes in a V? It's disturbing. I'm just pointing that out. A V. Like a,
how do you even do
like
that?
Like a lady would do that. I don't know. You manscape. That's weird.
How would you grow your nutsack hair to be in a V?
It's very intricate shaving, I would say.
Is it?
It's bizarre.
You're bizarre.
I don't know. I don't shave like that.
Oh, my God.
I'm so hairy, it doesn't actually make it out of the woods. If you get my drift.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Scott, this is one you brought.
I know.
You should lie and say you like it, so you don't look so stupid.
It's not that I don't like it. I'm just trying to characterize it and...
You just don't understand it.
Give...
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay not to understand it. It's okay not to be at that level to understand this wine's
so
quality.
It's so difficult to understand.
It is for you. It's okay.
Spanish Tempranillo. It's so complicated.
From Rojojo, as you said.
Yeah. No. I just think the acidity is a little bit over the top.
No.
Which makes me go...
It's tannin.
No, not because of the dryness. Because of the... Oh, my God. That's pucker. My lips sour.
Well...
But the truth is the acidity is only slightly out of way. I really believe that. I think it's three or four games where the acidity has really harmed the quarterback play and the wide receivers.
What?
Talking about sports now.
Oh, okay.
But on this wine, the acidity just pushes it out of balance slightly.
Yeah. And that's one reason why you should give it 2 to 3 years.
And
then it's going to be really good.
Then the acidity should come down, but occasionally...
I don't think it's overly acidic as but it's going to be a better wine in 2 or 3 years.
I just think right now the acidity adds a little like sour element on the back palate. It just does for me. What I love about this wine is the structure. And that's one of my favorite things of Tempranillo. You know what to expect, and it almost always delivers. What this wine doesn't deliver has nothing to do with its structure. My favorite thing about this wine is probably the thing that bugs me. Front palate, mid palate, the acidity, although...
Oh, God.
Concentrated.
It's not very acidic, folks.
That's my favorite part of the front palate. And yet, by the time you get to the end, it's like, would you go away?
It's not acidic,
It's like the hot chick at the bar that you're like,
You've never met the hot chick at the bar ever, not once.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I have.
No, you met her as you were carrying her out to your car after you roofied her, maybe, but you didn't meet her in the bar.
No.
That's the same thing. I was like, that's not meeting them, Scott. I told you that.
Anyway,
it's a club we're in.
No. It's like
yes,
the hot chick of the bar that's annoying to you, so you're just
yeah,
like,
oh sure, yeah, it's very annoying to you. Yeah. Oh,
she keeps saying
Scott's always said that. He's the really attractive woman. He's like, no, don't talk to me. He said that preemptively, just in case it might happen.
You have to.
He said that before he went into the bar, in case she existed, and she didn't. So
well, nobody exists.
Don't talk to me, hot woman. And then he walks in the bar, and it's just a bunch of men. He's like, oh, that'll work better for me. And so, you know, what happened?
So let me rephrase this.
Scott got fucked. That's what I'm saying. What?
No, I chose not to.
You chose?
This wine is annoyingly acidic.
It's not annoyingly acidic, Scott.
Annoyingly acidic.
It's not.
Like the hot chick at the bar.
It's not.
That just won't fucking shut her mouth.
It's not that acidic, folks. It's not acidic hardly at all.
False.
Scott, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be dumb, but, you know, I like the hot chick analogy. That's really good. It's not sexist at all.
There's just a touch too much acidity for me. I'm sorry if we disagree. No. I know you can't handle the differentiation and the conflict that possibly my palate would be different than yours or more sensitive than yours. And
oh, I know that you're sensitive. I'll get you some Midol upstairs so
you
can hold on to your sensitivities.
You couldn't manage the movie poster postings.
What?
It's okay.
That doesn't even make sense.
It's okay if in your life you uh-huh. need to have a movie poster.
What?
That has the little baby puppies, and they get away, and then you get them back, and you're just happy. You're just happy, and good for you.
Does your car have an exhaust leak?
Not a big one.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Can I pull my car up in your garage and sleep for a while I let it run?
Only if I can shut the door.
Would you shut the door for me?
I'll tape up the windows real tight.
That could be helpful.
Rubber hose, you know?
Well, you would know about a rubber hose.
Becky did not like that joke when we made it a long time ago.
The rubber hose joke?
Yes.
What didn't she like about it?
She doesn't like suicide jokes. I don't know why. They're funny. Yeah. You know, if you can't laugh at something, you know.
Yeah.
The only thing that's not funny is genocide jokes. Those aren't funny.
No. You just made a fucking suicide joke, genocide joke, right in there with it.
No, I don't think they're the same thing. I'm pretty sure. You know?
Yeah. No. Technically, suicide is a subcategory of genocide.
Subcategory?
Yes. It fits
death.
Suicide.
Death is the common denominator.
Purposeful death.
But that's
a subsector of a population.
But suicide is not on another person. It's on yourself.
Often.
Often?
Mm-hmm.
Every fucking time. Now, you might commit another crime and then commit suicide.
Oh, so other people could die.
Yes, but suicide itself,
yes, but
in an isolated sense, is an act against yourself.
Unless you've done something before you killed yourself.
But then you would have two separate events.
That's correct.
It's not.
You're learning the math.
If I kill someone else, it's not called mm-hmm. suicide. If I kill myself after I killed somebody, that part is suicide.
Yes.
The other part
yes.
is murder.
Always linked
two separate events.
Correct, but always linked together.
Yes, but they're not the same event.
Well, but that's not how society looks at it.
It's not how society didn't give a shit.
Society didn't give a shit. And then if that murder happened in my front yard, then I got to fucking break out the leaf vacuum and take the leaves off the
dead body. I've been to your neighborhood.
Body.
Who the hell's going to get murdered? You, maybe by Deb, but
well,
that's about it.
Well,
you're the only.
No.
If in that neighborhood,
yes.
you have the highest probability of dying.
Why?
There needs to be a death pool in your neighborhood,
oh
and you would have the best. You'd have the best odds.
Why are you doing this to me?
You would.
What's wrong with you?
She's gonna kill you.
Oh, fuck!
But it's gonna be an accident.
Oh, that's good. That's good for me. So I'm going to like impale on a croquet mallet that goes all the way through my neck.
Do you have a croquet mallet at the house?
Nah, but I'm sure she could bring one over.
That would be good. It would be accidental.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I would say Couldn't you did
she,
it.
She'd get away with it?
I would say you did it to yourself.
Yeah, well.
Self-inflicted.
Is she going to get away with it?
Hopefully.
Jesus.
I'll pray on it.
To which god? Never mind.
Any god. The god that has the least to do, probably.
Lord knows that's the best chance of success for you.
Mm-hmm. Deb, actually.
I do.
I can do a prayer right now if you want me to.
Just do it.
On Dear air. Baby Jesus.
No.
How'd Scott die? Someone put a croquet mallet up his ass. Really? Was it the handle first or the actual mallet first? Mallet first. Ooh.
Damn it.
I bet that hurt. It might have.
Not up sideways.
Oh, yeah. Does it matter?
Yeah, it actually does.
Well, actually it does, folks. You don't know the circumference of Scott's ass. It's quite huge. I've seen a 18-wheeler. No, it was a guy who drove an 18-wheeler. But still, he was pretty big, too. His name was Bart. It's pretty amazing. That was in Topeka, Kansas. Remember that, Scott?
There's nothing amazing about Topeka, Kansas.
Well, I know you feel that way because of Bart, but still. No. You still don't walk too well from that, I'm pretty sure. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, Scott, we're going to go back and forth. That's actually a good premise. Scott, this is a non-wine related topic.
Does that have to do with your tongue?
What is the most inappropriate non-cuss word you can think of right now? A word that you really shouldn't use in general conversation.
Cunt?
That's a cuss word. You can't say cunt.
You said what word but we no, can't say?
A normal word that isn't a dirty word, per se.
What?
Yes, a word that isn't a dirty word, per se.
That's the word.
That's a dirty word.
You can't say cunt.
I know you can't say cunt, but it's a dirty word. But I'll start off. I'll give you an example because you're fucking stupid.
All right, George Carlin, what word can I say?
I like the term, say...
It's not a term, it's a word.
A word. The word vigorous. I think we've talked about this before.
You can say vigorous anytime you want.
Okay, yeah, but what appropriate time would you ever use the term vigorous? When have you ever said I was vigorous? It's always kind of a perverted situation, isn't it?
No.
I mean, I know you use the word cunt 10 times a day, but that's neither here nor there. And we don't need to know how you talk to, you know, your relatives. But
vigorously
still.
Denied the allegation.
See, right there, you're a Trumpy because Trump probably vigorously denied something.
No, actually, that motherfucker doesn't vigorously deny anything. He said, yeah, I did it, but there's nothing wrong with it.
It doesn't have to be sexual either.
That's different.
Another term I always have felt that is inappropriate.
No, I want to hear one that's inappropriate because you named vigorous.
Vigorous is
wrong.
Always very inappropriate.
No,
but
it's not. That's never inappropriate.
More from a religious standpoint.
Okay.
Whenever you hear the term...
So I have to be religious or your answer is going to be religious? Well, go ahead. Give the religious answer.
I've heard certain people I know. They are in a religion where they use the term Zion quite a bit. Zion has an alien quality to it. If you refer to a place...
He's a really good basketball player.
Yes. Well, he's kind of fat, but...
Easy.
He's fat. Anyway.
You're fat.
He's like the George of...
basketball.
Yes, he is.
No.
George is Zion Williamson right there.
No.
But anyway, they refer to like their place. And by the way, Zion for them is in Kansas. So in case you were wondering.
Listen, let me explain something.
There's no Zion in Kansas?
Zion, just that name in itself.
Yes.
Implies a level of spirituality.
Does it?
That you're going to not access or be able to access in other parts of not just the country, but the world. And I don't know much.
Yes. No, I agree with that.
I don't know that there's any significant chance that if you move to Zion, Kansas.
It's not a real. No, no. They call a place that has a name of a city. They refer to that as Zion. That's not the name of the actual town.
Regardless, don't go there.
No, you shouldn't.
Don't go there. Let me say it again. Don't go there. Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because they're fucking nuts, dude. Mm-hmm. Zion doesn't exist. You can point your finger on a map, and because you licked your finger, there's a wet spot there. You know, there's other and probably more better ways
Have
somebody produce a wet spot on your behalf. I'm just saying. There's more better ways. More better ways. Highly technical.
Or just better ways. More better is better.
Or more better.
Yeah. Another word. The term that has always creeped me out is the term jubilee. You could have a party.
It was the dog's name at my buddy's
brother's
house.
They named a dog train wreck. They named a dog Jubilee.
Junelip.
Junelip.
You know.
Have you ever called something, though, in a serious sense, I'm going to throw a Jubilee? No, you have not, because you don't have rattlesnakes.
I don't think you have to have rattlesnakes.
What do you have to have?
To throw a Jubilee.
Do you have to make out with your cousin behind a barn?
No, that's always voluntary.
It's always strange. I mean, what does it involve? I mean,
having sex
with a virgin through a sheet?
Making out behind a barn.
I don't really
understand what that means.
What does a Jubilee entail? I want to know.
Oh, my God.
Non-alcoholic beverages, correct. Yes.
It's a nightmare.
Having sex with a farm animal, possibly. We should really ask the Southern man.
Oh, Jesus.
What? I've never had a Jubilee, but I have had sex with a farm animal before. But that was a dare, and there was no party involved. We just drank a lot of moonshine, and there was this... you don't need to know who it was. I didn't keep in touch.
We don't need to know. Who was it?
What? The animal did not have a name. It was a farm animal.
Oh, Lord.
It was cow number two.
Do you believe that?
Don't be stupid.
Listen, we don't care whether you have...
Do you want to know the truth?
VD or not.
I had sex with a cow, and then it never called me again. I tried to go to that field and talk to that cow, and it just walked away from me and said moo. So I was heartbroken.
It told you moo.
It doesn't say much other than moo. It's a cow, Scott. So, but I thought I had something special with that cow.
What did you think you had special?
I was using a lot of methamphetamine, so I don't know.
Well, there's that.
I mean, but the cow didn't say moo, so.
That's good.
It was, so I got that. But Jubilee, the term Jubilee, that is a Southern kind of thing.
No.
It is.
No, it's very Russian.
Jubilee?
Yes. Do you know what it means?
It's rubles, but possibly.
No. Do you know what it means this weekend, that they're blowing your leaves towards my yard? They're not going to pick up their leaves, but they at least commiserate with me, and they say,
if you had a stroke today,
look, we're 5 feet from the property line. Half of these leaves are ours and not yours, but they know I will try. So it's like, you fucking fucks.
Yes.
No. You fucking fucks.
I don't know if you're all that there.
I'm not definitely.
Have
all
you
that
been sniffing way. Glue or something? Because you haven't drank enough of the wine to be this intoxicated. So you're either
Brecca's our friend, or she's not.
You're mildly retarded, or you've got some sort of medical condition. Do you have syphilis? I've heard that raging syphilis makes people delusional.
Let me squeeze some discharge out of him. Let me squeeze some discharge.
Your tiny cock. I don't.
And
why are you shaved like a V? That's bizarre. No. Wilford mentioned that. I just saw that. That's
goddamn
strange.
Fucking Wilford.
Why are you manscaping? You don't have much going for you, so there's no point in doing that. That's a lot of time. Did you put like a stencil on that shit or something? I had to do that because it's very, very precise.
Time is on my side.
Well, fucks.
Yes, it is.
Scott has obviously left the building, so we're going to take a break.
Time is on my side.
And we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Yes, it is.
And we're back, folks. So, the 2016 Lon, well, Bodegas Lon, Reserva Rioja, Scott.
Yes?
What's your numerical score for this wine?
Say you want true love.
What?
I think it's a shame. Y'all come running back. Yes, you will, darling. You'll come running back just to me. You'll come running back to me. Time is on our side. 87 of my points. I recommend it. I just think stylistically it's not for me. It's a little, I realize it's Rioja. We've had Rioja before on the show. It's just a little too lean for me. The thing that makes it promising and why I'd recommend it is the acidity through it. That's my favorite part of the wine, even though I criticize it for the acidity.
You criticize it, but it's your favorite part?
Yes, because it shouldn't necessarily be there at this level, but it goes in and out of the wine.
Where would you expect it? More of a Crianza or?
Anyway.
No, it's a serious question. Where are you expecting?
It's not that I don't expect acidity. It's just a bit too much for me.
I think this is a very good version of what great wine producers' Crianzas are. I think that they shift all of their stuff a little bit lower. Like I've said.
Mm-hmm.
Lon is a hit and miss. I'm going to give this wine actually 90 of my points.
Wow.
It hits me just right, and I think that it's an excellent version of Rioja. It's a very good representation of Rioja for $20. That's something.
Yeah. And look, it's unusual for us to have this disparity in our scores, but that's okay. That's okay. It just didn't hit me as well as it did Rob.
I'm not going to beat you up for your 87 because...
that's a big disparity for us.
It is, but then again, that's not that uncommon in wine reviewing. I can see that if it doesn't hit you quite right, you're 88, 87, that's where you are, but you still think it's competent. I think it sings a little bit too. I think that also my 90 is top of the mark, but also it is thinking of 2 years from now, because I think this wine will age a little bit and silken and be a really great wine in 2 years, 3 years. And ageability and improvement, my expectation of improvement over that time does increase the score. It does.
And
I think this wine has ageability.
And well, look, folks, it's not just this wine, but it's like Tempranillo from Rioja in general. You expect that you can put it down and it's going to hold up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, the thing that I didn't care for about this is the acidity, and that can really calm down over time. Everything's an impression when you're drinking a wine at this age. And look, they've held it back. It's more than 3 years.
Yeah. 7 years, yeah.
But it's...
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do with this acidity? And it just didn't hit me right tonight.
Fair enough.
The truth is, with a similar bottle of wine, tomorrow night, the same level of acidity, it might work for me. Or I might just have a gut feel, or somehow it was more integrated into the wine. That I just didn't feel that tonight. But Rob did. And it's why we do the show, because you can have differences of opinion.
With that, Scott, I would recommend to you to skip the Crianza, because I don't think you're going to like it.
I get it.
And guess what? I would also skip their Crianza. I am not by any stretch of the imagination a Bodegas Lawn fanboy.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think that their stuff is up to snuff with the rest of the places.
Off air, Rob shared that opinion previously.
No.
And he just scored this a 90.
This is the best version of anything that they've ever made that I've tasted. I've had their Grand Reserva before too. I'm thinking, meh. I'm not quite sure, because they are actually very, very close to Muega, and Muega can make some things that will just boggle your mind, you know, and they don't. They just don't, at least not on this level, this label. They have other things on different labels, mind you. But
There's two classes above this, realistically, that Lang can make.
Well, you can go to Grand Reserva, and then from Grand Reserva, that's the baseline. You can do something that's superior to that on that same level, but you don't have to follow those type of things. That's the Rioja, by the way, leveling system. But you can go up to Grand Reserva, and then you can take it beyond. All we're talking about is minimums.
Mm-hmm.
Minimums.
Yes.
This one exceeds the minimum for a Reserva, right? But this is about the best that Lon can do. And, you know, 92s. Come on.
Yeah, James Suckling, 92s.
91? No. I will never say this is a 91. Ever. Ever. 90 is the top of the mark. Top of the mark. So, with that, that means I think an 88 to 90 is the range. So I don't think an 87 is ridiculous.
Okay.
No.
It's fine.
It's recommended.
Is what it is.
It's recommended.
Yeah.
It's a good representation of Rioja for a reasonable price. Some places almost charge the same for their Crianza as this. So you might as well pick up a bottle of the Reserva. And you can sit it down for a couple of years and really enjoy it 2 or 3 years from now. You could also just pick up a current bottle of Volvo.
That's much better.
Or Romanico.
It's much better.
They're not from Rioja.
But and they're less than $21.
I'm just saying. But if you have to drink Rioja, there you go. That's the thing. I just, you know, Rioja.
Volvo? For 15? This was 22?
Volvo's a little more than that, but. Volvo's like almost 20 now. I understand. Kay. Rioja is the prettier, more floral, relegated version of Tempranillo. I get that. I understand that you want to be the Burgundian of Spain.
All right. Right.
Hence
the acidity.
Sure. Well, no. But at the same time.
You're not the Burgundian of Spain.
Well, you are when you go up in the price ranges, just like you would in Burgundy. Mm-hmm. But for those that,
sure,
you know, when you're in the $20 range, the value isn't had in Rioja, per se.
Yeah.
The value is had in Toro. The value is had in any other place. So, you know. But that's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. So, a 90 and 87 recommended for the Bodegas La Reserva.
As much as I complained about it, as much as I complained, as much as I explained about it, the acidity doesn't keep me from recommending it. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And where it's at with age-wise, if you put it back on one year, 9 months, the acidity really could calm down out of this wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really could. And then I'd be right with Rob and saying 90. It just, I couldn't today.
And we don't know how it was stored.
Hello.
Scott bought it from a suspicious store.
Well, we're having some issues and concerns.
But nevertheless, tip of the cap to Rioja. Not Lon, but it's okay. And for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.